Bamberger, Parashat Shoftim.
I'll start the shiur and maybe mentioning a bit the mishnah which we finished the shiur with. We finished the shiur. Kol hashoyin rotzah kodesh baruch hu lezakis es Yisrael lefich echirv lehem tzorir mitzvahis shenema hachshem chavos matzit v'yagdol tzorir v'yadi. Now, some people have a tremendous pleasure in every extra mitzvah, but maybe b'derech melitzah we can ask that if somebody has a servant, favorite servant, what would be the approach to this person? Would he give him more jobs to do, or would he give him less jobs to do? We would assume that a favorite servant, give him the lighter jobs. Here, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, I love you so much, Umeila, I'm going to give you obligations, tens of times more than the rest of the nations. So obviously, it's self-understood what the pshat is, it's chan el baba, but let's bring out the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I love you and therefore we're giving so much more. What's the hegoyin in that? So for that, we need to understand a little bit. There's a whole sugi called pleasure. A theme nowadays, today most people are not really into ideological things, they're more pleasure for this, for its own sake. And we need to understand a bit the concepts, what is pleasure, what gives it, and hopefully we'll come out maybe with a few tools to improve our pleasure. And if somebody comes out with a bit more appeal to utilize the tools, have a bit more pleasure in life, then that's gewaldig. So first of all, the first introduction I need to give to this subject is, it's not my topic, I'm not the yadin on this topic. The ideas are from Reb Noach Weinberg, Zechonu Livracha, Rosh Yeshiva Veishei Torah. And he gave a very famous shiur on the topic. It's called the Five Levels of Pleasure. It's a very famous shiur. People have said it over. And it's a shiur klali in the whole subject of pleasure. Very small shiur, but very, very comprehensive. I'd like to share some of these ideas with you. The first thing, I'd like to tell you a story. A story I once read. It's probably true. There was a teacher of a class. And he wanted to find out, some children in the class are less lazy, some are more lazy. He wanted to know who is the laziest child in the whole class. He wants to put his finger on him. Which is the one with the real, which one's the person with excuses, which is the person who's lazy. So he makes an announcement after the lesson. He says, every day after school there's homework. But I'd like to say any boy in this class who doesn't want to do homework should lift up their arms. Obviously, everybody lifts up their arm, nobody wants to do homework, except one boy, the laziest child in the class, doesn't pick up his hand. So he asks the boy, he can't understand it, he says, do you really so much want to do homework? He says, no, absolutely not, but I was too tired to pick up my hand. And that epitomizes laziness. Laziness isn't about taking a shortcut. If there's a shortcut, there's no point in working harder. Chazal say a person is designated how many psias, how many steps you were shared in life. There's no point in taking extra steps, using up energy. The point is, there's a way of getting an easy way out in the long run, and a person doesn't do it because of self-control, because he can't put in the effort. So that is the first question when we come to the sugya of pleasure and how to get more of it, because that is what our shiur today is, how to get more pleasure. That is the topic. So the first question is, what is the opposite of pain? Because it was the opposite of pain. So some people would like to say the opposite of pain is pleasure. It isn't exactly right. The opposite of pain is no pain. The opposite of no pain is comfort. Somebody's comfortable, he doesn't have pain. Pleasure is an entirely different sort of feeling. Let me give an example. If you go around to a normal child of parents and you ask them, tell me, what's your parents' greatest pleasure? Most people will say, us, the children. Now, if you go to them and say a minute later, okay, so I know your parents' greatest pleasure is, what's your parents' greatest pain in life? So they look a bit shamefaced and they say, us, the children. They understand that the same thing, which is their greatest pain, is also the greatest pleasure. It goes together. Because what takes pleasure, what takes, what, if something wants to have pleasure, it takes a lot of pain to get into that. So nowadays, you ask a normal secular person, a Western person, you ask him, so how would you ask a young girl of 18, or 25, or 30, whenever, 35, whenever they get married nowadays, they ask him, how many children do you plan to get, do you plan to have? So he says, one, maybe two. So you ask him, why so little? Is it too much pleasure? Is that the problem? Is too much pleasure? She says, no, it's too much pain. So you see, this guy understands that the great pleasure in life is having children. That's why he wants to have children. He's not this altruistic person. But he can't bring himself to put in that amount of effort to give himself more pleasure. And so the very first point, when we come to this sugya of pleasure, is not to make the mistake of Western society. It's a Western consciousness which tells us that less pain equals more pleasure. And it's not true. We always understood that. That to get to pleasure, it equals pain. Pain, pleasure equals pain. If somebody is mukhan and ready to put in the pain, then they'll get the pleasure. So that's the first point, which you need to bring out this whole sugya of pleasure, that to get pleasure, it needs to have pain. But then, we need to ask a question. So what is pleasure? And what is the greatest pleasures? Because obviously, there's an exchange rate. Not all pleasures are equal. And if we're going to put in all that effort, then we need to find out what's the greatest pleasure, what's worth sacrificing some pleasures for other pleasures. So there must be some sort of an exchange rate. How do we work out which pleasure is more worth than others? That's a good question, because when it comes to light bulbs, we know, somebody goes to a shop and says, I want a light bulb, I want a lot of light. He says, how much? A lot of light. How many what? How many candlelight? He says, I want 1,000,000 candlelight. Oh, that's a lot, I'll get you the bulb. Somebody goes to a car dealership and says, I want a powerful car. So, ask him, how many horsepower? He says, oh, I want so many. Oh, I'll get you that car. There must be some sort of way of formulating. And the answer is, pleasure is energy. Imagine, you tell people, let's say somebody doesn't have money, he really needs money. You tell him, I've got a job for you. What's this job? Come to this arena, indoors, air conditioning, take a ball, lift it up high. Okay, I'm going to do that. Now put it down. Do that. Kick it to the side. And he gives them all the instructions of playing football. Kick it here, push it up. After 10 minutes, he says, I can't. I really can't do this. He says, I'll pay you well, £200 an hour. I can't. It's ridiculous. Up, down, right, left. Okay, he gives up. So what do? He doesn't know what to do. He goes with his friends and he plays a game of football. He does exactly the same thing. What's changed? What changed is the pleasure of winning a game of the sport is so powerful, it gives him the energy to put in a huge amount of effort, which he couldn't have otherwise. And therefore, if we're working out which pleasure is greater, we need to say, when I have this pleasure, how much energy will it give me going further? So that's the first yisod. The first introduction to pleasure is we need to work out how much energy will it give me. And sometimes it's a bit difficult to work out that point of how much energy it'll give me. So then therefore we work out what would be without it. If I wouldn't have this chocolate bar, sometimes somebody will, hey, without this chocolate bar, I won't manage. So if I wouldn't have this chocolate bar, how would life look like? Chocolateless life. If somebody says, what would be if you wouldn't have a house? It'd be terrible. Then you start appreciating what the pleasures are. So that's the first point. The person needs to work out an exchange rate of pleasure. The third point you need to work out is there's always a counterfeit. Let's say somebody goes and says, I'd like you to buy your watch. I'm going to give you $100,000. If this $100,000 a counterfeit is nothing, isn't worth anything. It might look like money, but it isn't worth anything. So there are pleasures in life, maybe avarice, maybe other things which looks like pleasure, but it doesn't give energy long term. Person comes after that, and he feels empty, he doesn't feel right. And that shows that it's not a real pleasure. And the last thing which we really need to point out, and that's why this shiur is really called the five levels of pleasure, is there's different classes of pleasure in this world. Because by Emerson, it's a very, very big question, this whole musig of pleasure. Man is created for pleasure. In Slabotka, you used to learn the Mesillah Yesharim like this. Ha'adam le'nevra, a person was only created, ela le'hisanik. They have pleasure. We learn it. Ha'adam le'nevra, ela le'hisanik al Hashem. You used to learn like this. Ha'adam le'nevra, ela le'hisanik. Person was created to have pleasure. Kodesh Baruch Hu Techa Tev Lehetiv, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to create a world where we have pleasure. What is the greatest pleasure? It's Anig Al Hashem, but the first principle we need to know is a person who created our pleasure. So we all understand that feeling satisfied is to be what a person is. Let's say you take a lion, you put him in a cage, and he can't run anywhere. It's given all the food and drink. You feel that it's wrong, because a lion is made to run around. Why is it, if somebody sits down and he really enjoys himself, and then somehow he feels empty after that? How can he feel empty? This is who he is. He is a pleasure seeker. This is my mahus. So if I'm being what I want, I should be the most fulfilled after having pleasure. And sometimes after having pleasure, a person feels not fulfilled. What is this? And the answer is, before a person comes down to this world, there's a malach. And the malach teaches him the whole Torah. But it says in Medrash also that he teaches him everything about life. And that's how people know morals, what's right and what's wrong. How do people know that it's wrong to steal? Who taught them it's wrong to steal, to murder? Who told the guy that? The malach taught every human being in this world about life. And it's our job to remind ourselves. And the person knows that this life has a higher pleasure, a different class of pleasure. When somebody goes into a lower class of pleasure and loses the higher class, he feels unfulfilled because he feels, I was made to have pleasure, but for a higher class of pleasure. And that's why a person feels unfulfilled, because this isn't what I am. I'm supposed to have pleasure, but a higher class. So therefore, we need to understand this concept of classes of pleasure. So let's give a marshal, let's give an example that explains what I mean by a higher class of pleasure. When we say exchange rate, the person says, I can understand, ice cream is very tasty, 50 ice creams are maybe worth a taxi ride, so many taxi rides are worth a car, so the person can work it out. A different class of pleasure is when it's not worth any exchange rate. Let me give an example. There's a story, Moshe is a businessman, not very successful, he works very hard and he tries to make ends meet, he's struggling, he's got a big family, he's struggling. One day somebody walks into his office. He says, Moshe, I heard you're struggling. He says, yeah, that's right. So he says, I hear you've got a big family. He says, that's true. He says, I've got a deal for you. Give me one of your children. I want to buy one of your children for £10 million. Nothing will happen to him. I just want to adopt him. And you'll never hear anything about him again. He'll have a very good life. You'll never hear anything about him again. Just one of your children. £10 million. You'll be able to live a beautiful life after that. Most people, I'd like to say all people, but definitely most people won't even think twice. Maybe a little brother wouldn't mind selling his sister. But a father would never sell a son. Why not? Maybe work it out, 100 million. There's no exchange rate. He realizes that the pleasure of a family, of having a relationship, of having a family, is worth more than anything in this world. And that's why it's called a different class of pleasure. Because there's no exchange rate. Nothing in that class will bring you to that pleasure. Sorry?
What's wrong with the daughter?
A daughter as well, just as well. So this story, Moshe, let's change it, the story to her daughter. So this story, Moshe, he comes home and he thinks to himself, what's going on here? I've just realized that spending time with my daughters are worth more than $10 million, £10 million. And I don't spend any time with them. I'm so busy with my business, I don't spend any time with them. I'm giving out the real pleasures of life for something small. He decides that's it. Tells the secretary, that's it. Cancel all appointments for the next week. I'm going on holidays with my family. Takes his two daughters, he's off fishing. After 2 days, he's back in the office. So his secretary asks him, what's going on? And this is where the fifth principle comes in. This is the most important point. You need to learn how to enjoy a pleasure. He might know in his heart that this is very pleasurable, but if he hasn't learned how to enjoy that pleasure, he doesn't have anything. After 2 days, the children are driving him batty. He couldn't learn to enjoy this pleasure. And therefore, when it comes to any class of pleasure, it takes training. And in any pleasure in life, there's a training. In Harvard University, for instance, there's a class. It takes a whole semester. For those people who enjoy wine, I'm not necessarily one of them, but how to enjoy wine tasting? It's a skill. Don't just take a wine, drink it, no. Swirl it around, take in the aromas, be aware of the various tastes. I don't know exactly, but they savor the wine, and that takes training. And like any skill in life, what's a skill? A skill is a bit of knowledge, a bit of tools, and a lot of practice. And that's what pleasure is all about. Pleasure is a lot of practice into the skill of having pleasure. And that is what's very, very important. Before we explain what the pleasures are in life, we need to explain again. First of all, the first principle is pleasure takes pain. Then we need to know what the pleasures in life are. And third of all, we need to know what the counterfeit of that is. And fourth of all, we need to learn how to utilize this pleasure. So let's start off. It's called class 5. If somebody goes on an aeroplane, there's a first class, there's a business class, economy class. And there's people hanging on a string on the back of the plane. They don't have this anymore. That's fifth class. Some people are holding on to the pleasures of life, sort of by the strings. What is fifth class pleasure? To be honest, fifth class pleasure is something we were very acquainted with. It's all the things of life which we used to. Food, drink, sleep, vacations, cars, houses, good stuff. But there's a tremendous question on that. Now, in Western society nowadays, we're living in the Western world, and seemingly we should be the most happiest possible. Any person has, the vast majority of people have the financial ability, the health, the freedom. In some countries of the world, you can't choose what you want. They've got the perfect ability to choose whatever it is that will make them happy. Maybe they can't afford the maximum, but whatever that person, the whole chayrot, in that intrinsic thing that will make a person happy, that is something that anybody has in their ability. And nevertheless, you walk around, most people are not happy. And in fact, a lot of people are actually depressed in our society, where you can get anything. And depression is on the rise. Rebbe Miller, Tisha B'Av, was describing how it's an epidemic, we speak about it. People have anxiety and depression. And the question is, why is it? If there's so much pleasure available, where is it? And the answer is, they haven't learned how to have pleasure. They haven't gone even to that class of wine tasting. So the first thing I'd like to share with you, the simple fifth class pleasure, to try to take more of that. Fifth class pleasure works like this. There's two ingredients which we need to have. The first ingredient is expectations. If somebody goes collecting, and he goes to a very rich person, and that person gives him £50. Now, if the person collecting the money appreciates it or not, it really depends what he was expecting. If he's expecting £10, £50 is very, very nice. If we're expecting £500, then £50 is terrible. If we come to life, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives us shefa, and shefa, and shefa, Ichai Oilam of the Stipler explains how beautiful a Kaddish Baruch Hu created life, just we should enjoy it. Colors, aroma, the Kaddish Baruch Hu could have made the world black and white. And Ichai Oilam of the Stipler explains on and on, a Kaddish Baruch Hu created things, how beautiful life is. It all depends what we're expecting. If somebody comes with the perception of Magiali, I need to have, then we're starting the zero. It's like there's a scale for weighing suitcases. Now, if somebody's gone on a diet and he goes on a scale, it shows 60 kilo, whatever the case is, it's embarrassing. So there's a dial where you can take off numbers, and the scale only starts weighing at 20. Before the 20, it doesn't start at all. And that's what some people look at. Until a certain level, it's not starting at all what we're getting. After that, it's starting pleasure. Now, it's a big problem, because who's deciding? Who's deciding what's Magiali? And the person decides what's Magiali, whatever a person is used to. And that's a big problem, because a person's never getting. That's the first problem. And the second point is that a person forgets. A person forgets the perception of tastes. And that is why a person needs to think about it, be misspoken, and to think into the various facets of what he's receiving in life. Another thing is that the very first facet, what they do by wine tasting, they tell you to think about it. They tell you to think about all the various tastes. And the truth is, all these things, I was thinking about the fact, if a normal secular person, you ask him, how does he look at the from yid? Is he enjoying life? The perception of a lot of fry people would say no. It looks very dark and very gloomy. In fact, I heard it from a few places. They were saying a very strange thought. They said that in Lashon HaKodesh, there's no word for fun. The word kef in Hebrew is pirated, as is a lot of other words. they pirated Lashpritz means to spritz, and Lefargen means to fargin, and the back axle kadmi means front axle. There's a lot of words borrowed. So kef is borrowed, pirated from Arabic. So they're saying there's no word of Nakodesh for fun. So I made a small check, and it, except for Simcha, and Chedvo, and Gilo, and if somebody's looking for fun, you got Schoik, and Shashua, and Anor, and Tanuk. So besides for all these various other words for Simcha and enjoyment, we don't have fun. Fun just means strange, funny, which comes from Shona. But we think to ourselves, one of the bigger Ibn-Nayach's biggest sayings was that the Torah is Torah's Chaim. What does that mean, Torah's Chaim? We look at Torah, some people translate Torah's Chaim as a Torah which gives us life. There's another translation. Torah's Chaim means the instructions for life. Torah, some say it's Torah in Hebrew, it's called Torah Taneiga. It teaches a person how to drive. Torah means the instructions. Torah's Chaim means the instructions for life. If someone wants to find out how to enjoy life, he looks in the Torah. Of course, every mitzvah in the Torah will get schar. And a person can even start smelling like a big suda. You can really smell from the outside, you can really start smelling. The neshama can really start feeling the pleasure of the Olam Haba. But on the very basic level, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to live life is the way we're supposed to live life in this world. Let's see a bit of what the Torah says about enjoying life. Not about enjoying life, but generally, and we'll see, we get the picture. First of all, when it comes to food, so one might think, food, we should eat as quickly as possible to save time. But Chazal say many times, it's a whole Hilchas Derech Eretz, Mechzi, Kirafson, Halachas and Gemara. How many sips should a person drink this cup? And he sounds a bit superfluous. A person shouldn't look like a Rafson, like somebody who's very hungry. But should eat with Derech Eretz. And the first basic point is, somebody eats slowly. Take your time. Savor it. The nowadays concept of chapping. People, Western conscious is, happiness is a happening. We're waiting for something to happen, to go to a place, to have that friend, that our friends should act in a certain way to us. And that's not what happiness and pleasure is about. Pleasure is about the skill, it's a lot about our frame of mind. So it's what we're actually doing, and take the time, it's not the extra bite, it's what we're doing to take the time to savor that. And expectations, we realize, Mi Ektimani Vashalim. Person wakes up in the morning and says, Moide Ani Lefanecha, Melech Chai V'Kayom, Shechzat B'Nishmosi. He realizes, even the fact that he's alive is not something to be granted, is not something to be taken for granted. If somebody stands up with a very feeling, when he gets up the first thing in the morning, life isn't something which I own, it's something which I was given. From the very fact that he's alive, he has pleasure. And every single thing on top of that is an added layer and it's pleasure. But it doesn't stop there. We go through a whole Birchas HaShachar and we go through every minute point. We don't just thank Hashem that we are alive. Thank you Hashem for the pleasures. We're mefaret. And we go through every single point. Pekeach Ivrim, that we've got eyesight. Mal B'Sharumim. Choyin and Ados. Every point. I was just on a voyage now on the ship, 5 hours. It's a long voyage and the boat shakes in the waves, coming a bit unpleasant. And then we start thinking, we've got solid ground underneath our feet. Have we ever thought about that? And until we miss it sometimes, we don't appreciate it. I remember on holidays, you get a bit of perception for what the normal pleasures in life are, which we might sometimes forget. I remember being in camp once and there was a 2-day hike. And so we walk a whole day, and after being totally flat out by night, where do we sleep? It was a very big hall, and everybody brought their sleeping bags, and he sat down on the floor, just on the floor, a hard floor. I remember for a very, very long time after that, I started appreciating, I've got a bed! It's a beautiful thing! And without thinking, without it, what would life be without it? We don't appreciate the tremendous pleasure of that. And we go through every bracha, and appreciate it one after the next, that gives a person with a pleasure. You start savoring. It's not a matter of getting extra things. Of course, a person helps, a person has certain needs, and if he needs to fulfill those needs. But having extra pleasure isn't about getting more things. The advertisers nowadays would like to tell us that pleasure comes from an extra cup and an extra buying something. It isn't so. A person has needs. Once those needs are fulfilled, it's about appreciating and savoring what we already have. So the first step, again, our goal is to have full pleasure in this world. And that is what Kodesh Baruch Hu put us in this world. And the more pleasure we have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an awe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really hative. And the more pleasure we have, he has an awe from that. We need to learn the skill of having pleasure and being aware of what the skill, what pleasures are. And the pleasures in life are from savoring what HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gives us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives sunlight. It's a tremendous anor, even for especially older people, Rabbi Gamliel says. The pleasure of simple sunlight. Think about it. Rabbi Gamliel was very busy with that. So the first step is to take all the Bechta Shacha and savor the brachas and think about the pleasures in life that we have. But sometimes you might need a little bit of a boost. And that is where there's a game, Noach calls it a happiness game. Make a list of 10 things that we appreciate in life. Let's say hands, eyes, nose, mouth. Then what a person should do is make priorities in that list. What does that mean, priorities? Of course, we want to have legs and hands. But if I have the choice, what would I choose? Legs or hands? It's a very difficult choice. I remember hearing once about somebody never had an operation on his throat, and the question was, would he have the power of speech or the power of eating? Terrible choice, chon litzlan. And I think he said he wanted to eat to become the mitzvah of matzah and Pesach, whatever the case was. If somebody says he prefers to have feet, he hasn't thought about what hands do. Without hands, a person can't do anything at all. There's absolutely nothing he can do for himself. Somebody told me a story of a child. He was riding a bike, and he fell off, he broke both wrists. He needed to call his parents. He came to his parents' door. He couldn't ring the doorbell. He needed to ring the doorbell with his nose. Imagine that. There's absolutely nothing. With legs, it's a problem in mobility. But it's not debilitating. Without hands, it's debilitating. When somebody's... Okay, so somebody's realized hands come before legs. Then the question is, legs before eyes. Each time a person goes through this list, okay, house. Person appreciates his house. Where? Chocolate bars. They're very good. Where is it on that list? Before eyes or after eyes? After eyes. So, I hope, first people. So, when a person starts making this list, he starts thinking about it. He starts savoring and appreciating what this means. Because pleasure is all about appreciating and thinking. Let's take another example. A person thinks that pleasure is about receiving, but it really isn't. Imagine somebody goes to a restaurant, top restaurant, asks for the top steak, and there's music playing. The waiter serves him. And as he's starting to eat this meat, he gets a phone call. His son, Ron Etzlan, had a crash. He's in the hospital. He quickly pays the bill. He runs off to the hospital. As he's going, he thinks, maybe I might be a bit hungry. So he takes the meat, puts it in a serviette, and on the way to the hospital, he eats it. How much pleasure is in the steak? Zero. Because his mind isn't in it. And take the other end of the spectrum. Take somebody who's just won the lottery. He's living in a hovel. He's hungry. But his pleasure is endless shy. You can't imagine his pleasure at that moment. If somebody was stamped on his toe, not only would he not be angry at that person, he wouldn't even feel it. He's so happy. Because pleasure is realizing what I have, the potential for the future. And if somebody goes through that list and makes the priorities and he starts realizing what hands do for me, what legs do for me, what I have a house, what I have a family, then he can start being savoring and appreciating whatever he has in life. So far, we're speaking about fifth-class pleasure. And I'd like to start, we don't have time, Ibn calls it five classes, and we won't have time to go through all the classes of pleasure, because each one needs demonstrating what the pleasure is and how we get there. With Hashem, in another time, we'll be able to go to the higher classes. But let me take you at least a bit in the higher class. We spoke, the higher class is relationships. We said that the person is willing to give up all the money that he has in the world, just he should have his family. But sometimes a person doesn't enjoy that relationship. It's a skill. How does a person have this skill of relationships? And no, it's not only family, it's friends also. A person would love to have friends. A person appreciates that having friends is worth more than everything else, and the need to have friends is more than everything else. Is something which, as we say, the Malach tells us, we all appreciate that. Imagine somebody is a poor person, and you go with him and say, I'll give you £1 million, but you need to do research on an island somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, where for 20 years, you won't meet a soul. Most people wouldn't do that. because they appreciate that the pleasure of having people around them, of having that interaction, is worth more than whatever you could possibly give me on that island. So how does a person build up that pleasure of relationships? Chazal say, interesting point, Chazal say that if we hurt a fellow Yid, if a fellow Yid hurts us, and we want to do nukoma, it's like the right hand hits into the left hand, the left hand wants to do nukoma on the right hand. There's no such thing that a right hand hitting the left hand in nukoma. So Chazal say, if somebody hurts us, we want to be nukom, it's like we're hitting our hand. Now, I find that a little bit difficult to understand. My hand, if I hurt my hand, I'll get the pain. If somebody stands on my toe and I hurt him back, what I have from that? It's not me, it's another person. Why the Chazal say it's as if you're hitting my own hand? The answer is, once you understand what the pleasures are, we can start understanding. The first question is, we need to understand a bit more about the pleasures of relationship. What is the pleasure of a friend? Is it being loved or loving others? Some people might think, other people love me. But Rashi says no. That's ego, that's just stroking my ego. Rashi says, V'natar brings down the posuk, V'natarius neshika yisoyne. If somebody who I hate gives me a kiss, not only do I not have pleasure from that, it's difficult for me. If I don't like that person, I don't have anything that the person loves me. So love, that other people love me, it means nothing for me. In fact, the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us more than anything in the world. If we don't love back, it's difficult to tap into that love and that pleasure. What we say every day is that Kodesh Baruch Hu is guiding us. The pleasure is that we love a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we take that, the pleasure in life is that we love other people. Every extra person that we have that we love, sometimes, very often a father can love his child far more than the child loves him. The child could be a day old. The child doesn't even have the sense to love back. But the father has such pleasure because he loves his child. And therefore, the more we develop our strength of loving other people, that gives us pleasure. How do we do that? How do you develop this sense of pleasure of loving other people? Again, we're back to expectations and savoring. If a person expects other people to do something for him, then you can't appreciate that somebody's doing something for you. And the first thing is appreciating that nobody is mechuyav to do anything for you. And therefore, whoever somebody does anything for you, he's part of a society, he gives me something that I've got something to say hello to, I'm not lonely. That alone is something that we can appreciate. And again, it's savoring. If somebody does a favor for you, make a list of something, everybody has done something in the past. An interesting point, somebody was saying that he's very much of his shviga. Why? If not for his shviga, he would have still been an alter bucher. There's always a point where somebody has done something for you in the past. And if somebody remembers all the pleasures, that even the slightest pleasures, then you can develop this fact of loving other people. If the other person loves you back, it's a side point. And that is a bit how we develop the sense of pleasure, of loving other people and relationships. Now, we started off, we wanted to understand a little bit of the concept of what does that mean that Kaddish Baruch Hu loves us and therefore he gives us so many more obligations? How does that show his love for us by having us so much more to do? Let me tell you a story. There was somebody called Moshe and he had a child called Yitzchak. And a child called Yaakov. Random name. So, and he really loves them. And a daughter. And he really loves them. He gives them the best childhood possible. And he's a wealthy man. He gives them tennis. And he's got the tennis pitch in the back. He gives us swimming lessons. He teaches them music, how to play instruments. He makes a music room inside of his house. And he gives them vacations. It's teaching them a car. It's a beautiful life. And the children are very happy. And wherever the children are happy and enjoying themselves, the father's got tremendous pleasure from that. But the children are getting a bit older, 10, 15, and they're still busy playing with their Lego, playing with their instruments, and he starts feeling something's missing here. He starts telling them, maybe study for the tests, maybe go to apply for university. So they tell him, Dad, we're having a good time, we're enjoying ourselves. He says, oh, what can I do? And it goes a bit further, 20, 25, 30, they're still sitting in the basement, playing a bit of music, a bit of tennis, And he tells him, go, get out, get a job, we're God. They tell him, Father, what's the matter? Are you not happy that we're enjoying life? He says, yes, I'm very happy, but you're causing me pain. Because there's so much more to life. There's a sense of satisfaction of a job. There's a sense of meaning of doing something in life. There's a sense of power of creating something. There's a sense of connection to other people. There's so much more to life. You're missing out on life, on the pleasures of life. If you're not succeeding to the maximum of your ability, that is giving me pain. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give. But for the rest of the world, 7 mitzvahs, a bit of pleasure. If somebody, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're my children, I want you to have maximum pleasure. I'm not happy with you just to play music and play games all day. I want you to have the pleasure of having a child, of being married, of building, of doing something, of creating a life. And once we have that, the more we get to the maximum pleasure, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nachas. And that is why it's an obligation. It's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering us more mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obliges us. Because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since He loves us so much, obliges us to have the maximum pleasure possible. And it's our job, when we're doing tshuva, it's our job. In Chodesh Elul, we're thinking about doing tshuva. And we think about it maybe as some job. There's a job which we need to do, maybe we haven't succeeded, and we need to quickly do this job. What is our job? Our job is our benefit. Our job is to have the maximum pleasure. That's what we're in this life for, to get the maximum pleasure that we possibly have. And that's why in Kelm, the first avoiding, Elul was, Lehaki Toivus HaBoira, to appreciate the Toivah of the Boira. Because that helps in the whole Musaq of Tshuva. If we appreciate and we enjoy life, the more, we're coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The more we learn about what the pleasures in life are, the more we learn the skill, the more we practice the skill, because the knowledge itself is nothing. The more we practice savoring, thinking about everything in life, being aware of what the greater pleasures are, the more we'll succeed. And there's the other levels, which we need to get to a different time. There's the level of meaning, there's the level of power, and mainly our goal is being coming close to Hashem, because that is the ultimate pleasure. And the more we focus, we come close to Hashem, that is the ultimate pleasure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, and that helps us in our goal to do tshuva. Amen.